All right, our Advent prophecy reading for today is coming to you from the book of Isaiah, chapter 35, verses 1 through 10. This is the word of the Lord. The wilderness and the wasteland shall be glad for them, and the desert shall rejoice and blossom as the rose. It shall blossom abundantly and rejoice, even with joy and singing. For glory of Lebanon shall be given to it, and the excellence of Carmel and Sharon. And they shall see the glory of the Lord, the excellency of our God. Strengthen the weak hands and make firm the feeble knees. Say to those who are fearful hearted, be strong, do not fear. Behold, your God will come with vengeance, with the recompense of God. He will come and save you. The eyes of the blind shall be opened, and the ears of the deaf shall be unstopped. Then the lame shall leap like a deer, and the tongue of the dumb sing. For waters shall burst forth in the wilderness, and streams in the desert. The parched ground shall become a pool, and the thirsty land springs of water. In the habitation of jackals where each lay, there shall be grass with reeds and rushes. A highway shall be there and a road, and it shall be called the highway of holiness. The unclean shall not pass over it, but it shall be for others. Whoever walks the road, although a fool, shall not go astray. No lion shall be there, nor shall any ravenous beast go up on it. It shall not be found there, but the redeemed shall walk there, and the ransomed of the Lord shall return and come to Zion with singing, with everlasting joy on their heads. They shall obtain joy and gladness, and sorrow and sighing shall flee away. Cliff Denae, for coming today, give us a message from the Lord. And so we thank you so much for this time that you've...
Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
Just a few words about who in the world I am. This guy shows up from Petoskey. A number of years ago, a program was started in the Presbytery of Mackinac called the Three Lakes Lay Academy. And it was a program designed to pull together lay people who had an interest in the ministry. A lot of folks that raised their hand and started out, they weren't sure exactly what that meant, including me. But I've always had a servant's heart. And I thought, okay, I'm retired now. I retired in 2015 from a mental health career at North Central Michigan College in Petoskey, working with students whose lives were falling apart. So I was well-versed in the art of reaching out and serving those people who were hurting. So I thought, well, dear God, you show me the way, and I'll see what I can do. So it's a three-year program of fairly intensive study, and at the end, you have the opportunity to apply for a title called a commissioned lay pastor, both men and women. And I think, I really don't know the statistics, but I think that there were enough people interested in becoming a lay pastor that the program still continues to this very day. And I'm proud to say that I walked the walk and finished the program, and for the last 2.5 years now, I've been filling pulpits of various churches in northern Michigan. My home church is the First Presbyterian Church in Petoskey, and so my wife headed off this morning, and she said, now, if you can, slip away when you are done with your service at your church, so you can come and see the children's play. So I said, I'll do what I can, honey. So that's just a little bit about me. And enough. So this morning I'd like to read two different scripture passages. The first one is from Psalm 25, verses 1 through 9. Psalm 25, verses 1 through 9. To you, O Lord, I lift up my soul. In you I trust, O my God. Do not let me be put to shame, nor let my enemies triumph over me. No one whose hope is in you will ever be put to shame, but they will be put to shame who are treacherous without excuse. Show me your ways, O Lord. Teach me your paths. Guide me in your truth and teach me, for you are God, my Savior. And my hope is in you all day long. Remember, O Lord, your great mercy and love, for they are from of old. Remember not the sins of my youth and my rebellious ways. According to your love, remember me, for you are good, O Lord. Good and upright is the Lord. Therefore, he instructs sinners in his way. He guides the humble in what is right and teaches them his way. And the New Testament scripture is from Matthew 5, verses 23 through 25. Matthew 5, verses 23 through 25. And this is embedded in a section which is when Jesus is teaching us about anger. Therefore, if you are offering your gift at the altar, and there remember that your brother has something against you, leave your gift there in front of the altar. First go and be reconciled with your brother, then come and offer your gift. Settle matters quickly with your adversary who is taking you to court. Do it while you are still with him on the way, or he may hand you over to the judge, and the judge may hand you over to the officer, and you may be thrown into prison. Matthew 5, verses 23 through 25. When I thought about what I wanted to talk with you about this morning, I thought, okay, this is a season that's mixed in with the excitement of welcoming the baby Jesus into our world. And then also I was thinking, I think maybe because of my background in the mental health field, I was thinking of three different topics. So my sermon this morning is on three words that sort of stir in together and I think fits in very nicely with the message that Jesus brought to the world. Those three words are regret, forgiveness, and hope. I think when we go into the Christmas season, regret, forgiveness, and hope are sort of like a whirlwind as we look back on our memories of our earlier years. I don't remember exactly how old I was at the time. I can only share with you that I was old enough to know better. Anybody been there? I had been preparing to join a few of my friends at the nearby playground with my younger brother Mike when my younger brother Mike walked up and asked me if he could come along with us. Now, Mike was 2 years younger than me at the time, and as some of you might recall about your early years, those 2 years back then could often feel like an impossible chasm when it came to deciding who your friends were. Anybody been there? I wanted to hang out with kids my age, not my younger brother's age. I immediately dug into my pocket and found a precious nickel. Believe it or not, a handsome sum all those years ago. I turned to Mike, who was wearing pleading eyes, and said, "No, you can't come with me and my friends. We want to play alone. Here, you can have a nickel if you go away and play with your own friends." When I was typing this up, I wrote in parentheses, "My eyes are tearing up as I type these words." Parentheses. Mike looked up at me with his sad eyes, took the nickel, and slowly walked away. It took years to summon the courage to apologize to him for being so selfish. And as you are listening to these words, you might possibly hear sometimes the lingering pain in my own voice all these years later. Regret can hold us hostage for a lifetime if we let it simmer. But I was just a kid back then and had no idea how much hurt I was causing Mike. So this morning I would like to recommend a wholehearted apology sooner than the years it took me to apologize to my younger brother. If any of you have been waiting for the right moment to ask for forgiveness for a similar act, I would kindly suggest that today might hold that moment. Before you go to bed tonight, you'll be amazed at how much weight that will be lifted off your heart afterwards. May the words of our mouths and the actions of all of our hearts be filled with wisdom, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. I grew up in the Catholic Church, where sins were put into specific categories. Anybody else grew up Catholic? A few? Yeah, a few. For example, if you Google the word venial, Google describes a venial sin as a sin that is relatively slight, or as Jane and I, when we look at each other sometimes, if we're not sure what the message is, we'll go sort of like this. And that is committed without full reflection or consent. While a venial sin weakens the sinner's union with God, it is not a deliberate turning away from God, and so does not wholly block the inflow of sanctifying grace which cleans the sin away. This is according to Catholic theology. A venial sin is problematic, but not horrific. The second category was the one that frightened me the most while growing up. Catholics call it a mortal sin. Google describes a mortal sin as a gravely sinful act which can lead to damnation if a person does not repent of the sin before dying. It is alternately called deadly, grave, and serious. The concept of mortal sin is found in both Catholicism and Lutheranism. A mortal sin is a bigger offense against God in Catholic theology, because the sin that is committed is done with the full intention and consent of the sinner. That's the Catholic theology, much of which I do not agree. A white lie, for example, to a Catholic would qualify as a venial sin. But taking someone's life would certainly be considered a mortal sin. Giving my brother Mike a nickel to go away would be considered a venial sin, something bad to do, but not threatening to my eternal salvation. Confessing our sins like Catholics do, and just as we do in our own Presbyterian tradition, wipes our sins away. God forgives us for our human frailties and gives us a new start. Forgiveness is God's special gift to humankind. Forgiveness trumps regret and gives all of us a clean slate to start over with again. We all have regrets. Some regrets become heavy stones we carry, forgetting that we can set the stones down whenever we are ready. Yet some of us hold tight to our regrets and suffer needlessly. The singer Frank Sinatra, anyone remember him? A few of us. The singer Frank Sinatra's song, I Did It My Way, was his declaration that he had, yes, a few regrets, but he said in the song, or sang, too few to mention, because he lived his life his way. And this very popular song in its time never reveals Sinatra's regrets or how he dealt with them. I would have liked to have known. And how many regrets are too few to mention? I have no idea. Sharing our regrets with a trusted friend or a mental health professional can give us a renewed sense of freedom. Sharing regrets lightens our psychological burdens and opens our hearts once again into the light of reconciliation and the renewal of hope. And to whom do we turn for hope? Everything is possible for him who believes, Jesus said. Emulating the actions of Christ can restore us to a life of service ourselves. People all around us are suffering with endless needs and often feelings of hopelessness. We can be their candlelight in the darkness. A Chinese proverb encourages us. The scent of the rose lingers on the hand of the giver, it goes. The life of Jesus was the living promise that we humans seek. The need is great and the workers are few. We've heard that one before. Is that nagging need God whispering to us? While thumbing through some old greeting cards that I had been saving for eventual recycling, I came across one that I had sent to my parents on April 3rd, 1997. I had just spent a weekend with them in Bay City, the town I grew up in. In my letter to them, I thanked them for their hospitality and the fresh haircut that Dad had given me. He was a barber for 65 years plus. And how wonderful it was to touch base with my family. We were celebrating Easter. Little did any of us know at that time that both of my parents would die within the next 4 months. A terrible, terrible tragedy for any child. Yet what struck me about the card was the message printed in bold blue letters on the front. The message, I discovered, was really a prayer. The message was simple. I thank my God for every time I remember you. I thought of the countless people I could have sent that card to, in addition to the members of my own family. Then I thought about the title of this sermon again, Regret, Forgiveness, and Hope, and wondered how many times through my growing up years that I had regretted some act of defiance against my own mother and father. And how often I had to ask them for forgiveness regarding my out-of-place behavior. And also, how I had hoped that they would forgive me again and again and again and again. Any of us in that spot growing up? I'm sorry, Mom. I'm sorry, Dad. I'm sorry again. They did, as God has endlessly shown the same and greater grace. So each time I think of them, I realize, them being my parents, I realize that the message on my rediscovered card is my perpetual prayer to them. I thank my God every time I remember you. My brother Tom, 6 years my senior, died just on November 29th. Tom was raised Catholic, and so as he lay dying, the hospital chaplain called for a priest to administer the last rites. I'll never forget the last words the priest whispered for Tom as he anointed him with oil and the sign of the cross. My son, your sins are absolved, forgiven. Go in peace, my child. Go in peace. Amen. He whispered all of those words. I listen quietly, thinking, do we need to wait to ask for forgiveness until we are on our deathbeds? No. The answer to my question was instant. Each Sunday at our service, we confess our sins before God and each other. And God forgives each of us and encourages us to go back into the world and sin no more. Still, because of our human imperfections, we know we will return to ask for forgiveness again and again throughout our lives. That's just part of our humanity. We screw up pretty often. I often thought of some of the lyrics of the song that our son Nathaniel and his wife Elena had played at their wedding. The sun comes up and we start again. The sun comes up and we start again. Every day we can have new hope. The hope comes from a baby lying in a manger. Amen. Precious Lord, we are weak, but you are strong. We pray for the strength that comes from you. Thank you for not abandoning us when we slip into regret, forgetting that regret can be temporary. And forgive us for sometimes forgetting that you are a fountain of forgiveness and an endless river of hope. Amen.